to Glow in the Dark.
Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. This is a science fiction podcast where I read to you the science fiction that I write. We're into the adventures of Alibi Jones. We'll get into Chapter 4 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest coming up in just a couple minutes here. And I'll set up the story so that if you haven't listened before, or it's been a while, you can dive right in. As a matter of fact, let's do that. Alibi Jones has a big secret. Well, he did. But his big secret and his shame has just been exposed. You see, in freeing friends from crime lord Rene Lavalore's pleasure planet, Kismet, Alibi destroyed the city of Kismet, accidentally. But he killed almost 100, probably a couple hundred, sentient beings, humans and aliens, who were there on vacation. Alibi reported it to his superiors in the Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force. But so far it hadn't come out. Until now. So as that news is spreading, Alibi's dealing with the repercussions of the news becoming public. He just dodged a media scrum. He was going to go out for a walk, but as soon as he tried to leave his place, they were all over him. They were just out there waiting for him. So Alibi heads back into his home away from home. He is staying at his Aunt Anita's. She's practically his mom, his foster mom. He's staying at her place on Ceres Central. That's the major space station, now colony, on the largest of the asteroids, Ceres, in Earth's solar system. His aunt actually used to lead the Solar Alliance, and the former leader of humanity's government still has some pull. So she said she's going to try to find Alibi someplace he can escape to. Maybe a reassignment in the Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force, away from mediation, because he can't do that anymore. Not with the snooze being public now. So she's talking about finding a way to send Alibi out undercover. We'll see if Alibi can extricate himself from this mess as we get into Chapter 4 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, I do have a little bit of news. Yeah, I want to fill you in on some cool stuff. Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, this book that we're getting into on the podcast. Well, the audiobook has now been released. It is now out on Audible as of Thursday. Thursday the 2nd is the official release date, but it was only as of, like, this morning, Saturday the 4th, that I saw it listed everywhere and tied into my other books, so it's out there now. It's all official. It's on Audible. It's on Amazon. It's on iTunes. And this is the first time it's been released as an audiobook. You've heard it on this podcast in some form or another. But it has never before been released in audiobook form. Until now. And this is a big one for me. I don't mind telling you. This kind of wraps up a lot of catch-up work I've been doing. Things I knew I wanted to do for my books and the things I already had out that I needed to finish, editions I needed to get together. You know, it's like you put a book out and then you want to be sure you're buttoning down everything, making it available in all its forms, and it took me a while on these. Last month and a half, I've gotten this done, you know. I've gotten the Hornet's Nest now. The Devrisium went up right at the end of June. And in mid-June, we got Sunrise of Her up there. So all those audiobooks are now done and up on Audible. It is at least a year later than I originally hoped. I was hoping, actually last August, that I was going to be able to put Sunrise of Her up and then Hornet's Nest. But as it turned out, Sunrise needed audio re-editing. And I could only do that week to week with the podcast. I just didn't have the time otherwise. I couldn't sit down and take it all on at once. Hornet's Nest was all done, but I didn't want to confuse things by releasing the Alibi Jones audiobooks out of order. So I had to wait until Sunrise was done. And it is. And now all of Alibi Jones's adventures are available as audiobooks. Well, almost. Almost. Five of the six short stories that are in the Patio book release, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, six short stories. Five of those six short stories are still not out as a regular audiobook. You can get them as a free downloadable podcast. That audiobook is available through Patio Books originally, now through Scribble. Means it's on Stitcher and iTunes and LibriVox and Podchaser. And so you can listen to those stories. They are out there, but it hasn't been released as an official audiobook. So I just wanted to clarify. If you're not familiar with Alibi Jones' six short stories, that's a collection of audio adaptations of comic book stories. So it's actually the audiobook for the comic books. The Adventures of Alibi Jones, issue number 1, and issue number 2 from Glow in the Dark Radio Comics. But here's the thing, one of those six is About Time, the story About Time, which is also collected in the Time War of the DeVriesium, which came out afterwards. And it's never sat well with me that one story was in both collections. So that has kept The Adventures of Alibi Jones' six short stories from coming out in any other form besides the free downloadable podcast through Patio Books, Scribble. But that will change soon. I'll have some details after the chapter today. But let me get back on track. Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest is out now, just out, through Audible. And that makes all of Alibi's prose adventures now available as audiobooks. So you can listen to Alibi Jones, the original novel. You can listen to Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her. You can listen to Alibi Jones and the Time War of the DeVriesium, the short story collection. And you can listen to Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, the book that you're hearing on this podcast. So if you hear chapter 4 and you don't want to wait, you can get the audiobook and just keep on going. They're all out now. And that, again, is at Audible, Amazon, and iTunes. And that is it for news. It's a lot of news. It's good news. And we do. We have Chapter 4 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on the way next on Glow in the Dark Radio. But first, a word about words.
Hey, guys. I'm Ray Belli, the host of Words for Granted, a brand new podcast that looks at how words change over time. Have you ever wondered where words come from or why they mean what they mean? Yeah? Well, me too. In fact, I think about these things all the time, and that's why I've created Words for Granted. It's kind of like an ongoing greatest hits compilation of the most fascinating word evolutions in the English language. Did you know that villain once meant farm worker, or that bead once meant prayer? The bottom line is, if you're a word nerd, let's be friends. You can find out more about the show at wordsforgranted.com and follow Words for Granted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I hope you tune in to the next show.
Now, here's Chapter 4 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi turned his back on the press and walked back into his aunt's place, the media clamor silenced as the door closed behind him. Media, Alibi sighed as he spotted his aunt walking towards him.
What were you thinking? His Aunt Anita asked. You know you can't go out there right now.
Was sleeping, kinda forgot when I woke up, he explained.
Why do they even care about Kismet? Because they cover the story, their ratings go up, she said. Probably. She shook her head. But don't worry about them. What? He asked. Why not? You won't need to soon. You're not going to have to answer to Brandywine anymore either. She smiled a crooked half-smile. We've figured out what to do with you, Allie. That makes it sound like I'm a problem child or something. Jeesh. I tried to protect you, Anita said. But too many people know who you are, Alibi Jones. She gave his name just a hint of playful emphasis. So, we're going to make it look like you're being discharged from the Mediation Corps and the safe. We'll set Brandywine up to do it without knowing our intent. She'll play the role well in her ignorance. She'll enjoy that way too much, Alibi cracked. And? Is it like you thought? Am I really reassigned? Alibi asked his aunt. Transferred and reassigned, Anita said. A whole different division. You won't be in the Mediation Corps anymore, Alibi. You really can't be. As I said, even without proof, the talk of your complicity in the Kismet affair impacts your ability to be a trusted actor in any negotiation. Alibi sighed, loud with drama and effect. It was an accident, he said. I know, she said. And, more importantly, they know, the safe brass. That's why you're still in the Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force, though we will make it look otherwise. So I am still in. Well, that's good. Only because of you, probably, Alibi said, almost pouting. He often felt like a 12-year-old kid around her. She glared at him, then softened. That may well be true, Anita conceded. But don't get too used to me always being here, Allie. God help us, it's a long time from now, but I won't always be able to back you up. I know, he said. And I love that you're always there for me, Aunt Anita. He gave his aunt a hug. She squeezed him back, but then pulled away, looking up at him. It's going to be hard for me to watch out for you on this new assignment, Alibi, she said. We had to get you off the beaten path, out of sight and out of mind. Uh-oh, Alibi said. That sounds kind of ominous. You're being transferred to safe, covert ops, she said. Oh. Alibi stared back at his aunt. Covert ops? Covert. Undercover. Out beyond the boundaries of the Solar Alliance, she said. Alibi brightened. Against the Greater Ta? He asked. Happy to. Probably not, she said. I'm afraid you'd be too conspicuous on that front, Alibi. The Greater Ta know you already. He frowned. You'll be on the opposite side of the solar system from the conflict with the Greater Ta, she said. Transporting cargoes. Out past depot. Oh, he said again. He looked away, uncomfortable. What? They don't like me much out that way either, Alibi said. I ruffled a lot of feathers going through there on my way out to Metcalf. Whose? She asked. Keeler and Sings on depot? Yeah, Alibi said. You know them? They asked for loads of cash when I was picking up your old star charts for Metcalf. Wentworth helped me pay them off. His aunt frowned at the mention of Wentworth. The frown snapped away. Did you hear he died? She asked. Richard Wentworth. I did, Alibi said. Too bad. He lived long enough, Anita cracked. Alibi looked at her, a little surprised. What? She asked. Don't speak ill of the dead? The man was easily over 100. I'm sure he employed any manner of anti-aging techniques to live this long. And I wouldn't put it past him to have had his brain somehow uploaded into some giant computer somewhere. The ancient enemy could do that, Alibi said. Using their time travel technologies. They'd go body to body. That's how Azimut got here. But even they'd screw it up once in a while. Alibi's mind flashed back to the hunger for a moment. He shook his head to clear it. Krish hasn't been able to come anywhere near duplicating that. Well, if anyone could find a way to do it would be Krish, she said. And if anyone could afford to have had it done, it would have been Wentworth. Alibi laughed. You think that's far-fetched? Not a possibility, his aunt asked. She looked at him intently. Alibi grew wide-eyed. What, Krish working for Wentworth? No way! Anita let a grin slip out. Of course not, she said. And if he had, I would know about it. There was communication between them over the years, but no exchanges of funds that we could track.
How does she know this stuff?
Alibi once again made a mental note not to cross his aunt. And, you know what? What I was saying before? Before he died, Wentworth took care of our depot problem, Anita said. What? Keeler and Singh were busted trying to shake down one of Richard Wentworth's companies, she said. Turned out that was the tip of the iceberg. They were dirty. Bribes, kickbacks, special favors, protection. Pretty bad.
Doesn't surprise me, Alibi said. That's why they didn't like me. Didn't want to play their games.
There's someone new out there now, she said. I forget his name. Shark something. Doesn't matter. You won't be dealing with him. Well, not directly. Not in the chain of command.
I won't? Alibi asked.
You're not going to be based on Depot, Alibi. You'll be out well past the old colony. And you'll be covert ops, undercover. It's not like you'll be checking in with a local safe commander out there.
This is starting to sound pretty wild, Alibi said, smiling.
His aunt frowned. It's dangerous, Alibi, she said. Not fun and games. Beyond the Solar Alliance border, there are smaller colonies. Independent states. Some warlords. No one as big as René Lavalore on this side of things, but many who aspire to be like him. Others are just independent traders trying to make a buck by running commerce and other things.
Scum, Alibi said.
Exactly,
Anita agreed.
But for the most part, the sheer number of indies operating out there keep any one of them from getting too big. Most are one or maybe two ship operations. Some succeed, many fail, or settle down. New guys make a go of it all the time and take their place.
And I get to pretend I'm a new guy?
Anita looked Alibi in the eye, to be sure she had his attention. You are going to be a new guy, Alibi, she said. You'll have to start actively running cargo between planets. It's got to be believable as your cover. We'll set up some runs to get you started. But where the other indie traders supplement their cargo income with illegal smuggling and other less savory secret trade, your secret cargoes supplementing your trade income will be safe assignments. Alibi blinked. For a moment, he felt as if he was in free fall. His life was about to change completely. Everything he'd worked for with the Mediation Corps was over.
About to head out into the unknown. Alone.
Alone? He asked. He was assuming too much. Is this a solo mission? No, Anita said. You'll have a cruiser and a crew. And a small home base.
A base? Alibi asked. A base, she said. Codename the Hornet's Nest. An old safe forward base set up just beyond Solar Alliance space. Better still, the Dakur have agreed to back this mission. They still work with us covertly. And they'll provide your second in command. Having different races on the crew will make your cover more believable.
Can we get Kit? Alibi asked.
No, Anita said, shaking her head. I did try. He refused the assignment, we were informed. But we have been offered his brother Cat.
Oh, Alibi said, disappointed.
And the safe will be providing you with a small staff as well, she said.
Do I get to pick them? He asked.
Well, Anita said, considering. Why? Someone you had in mind?
Alibi was thinking about a safe trooper, Emily, he'd met a couple of months ago. She'd helped save his life after he was taken prisoner during the Time War. Beyond that, in one timeline, he'd been shown by the Divrisium, where Alibi had been an old man in his 90s. Emily had been his wife of many years. In this timeline, however, Alibi had only met her that once, when she'd helped rescue him from the Divrisium.
Sure, Alibi said. A safe trooper I met a few weeks ago. Name's Emily Brown.
Is there something you're not telling me, Alibi? Anita asked, intrigued.
Nope, Alibi said.
Not yet, anyway. We've only met once, in this version of reality. But I was married to her for years in one of the timelines the Divrisium put me into during the Time War.
Oh. Thought it might be good to get to know her better, in this life.
I'll see what I can do, Anita told Alibi, as she shook her head. Lieutenant Nathan Brisby has been assigned as your liaison with the safe hierarchy. I picked him out. He is your Mercury, your messenger. But I'm afraid you and I won't be able to be in touch often.
We'll find a way, Aunt Anita, Alibi reassured her. She grasped him in a firm hug, as if she'd never get the chance to hug him again.
Oh, it's good to get away. I do it nearly every day. If you ask me what I'll say, you should try it now, today.
Alibi made up the words, singing as he cleaned the floor to one of the ship's bays. Over his last 2 weeks spent alone, he'd discovered that most of the ship's bays in the Hornet's Nest's port had great natural reverb, a perfect echo for singing. Alibi imagined himself playing with a band in the bay.
Hello, Hornet's Nest! Nest, nest, nest.
The words echoed in the emptiness. The abandoned station could hold a crew of hundreds, but Alibi was all alone. For the moment, the members of his new covert ops team would be joining him over the course of the next 2 weeks.
This next one is the first song on our new album. Bum, bum, bum.
Alibi heard a sound, like skin smacking skin. Someone was clapping.
Someone's clapping?
I heard you singing before, the woman said, as she walked into the light of the ship's bay. Alibi recognized her. Emily. He smiled. And you were still clapping, he joked. Because you stopped, she said, a playful look in her hazel eyes. Don't quit your day job, Alibi Jones. How'd you get in? I didn't hear you land, Alibi asked. She laughed. I didn't land, she said. I infiltrated, putting my week-long crash course in covert ops to good use.
A whole week?
Alibi asked with a touch of sarcasm. You didn't hear me come in, she pointed out. Alibi grinned. Touché. They dropped me off, she said. Just synced up to one of the external airlocks. So, I'm assuming you have a ship? She asked. She looked around the empty bay. Is it invisible? Because that would be pretty cool. It's a couple bays over. Average run-of-the-mill cruiser that's been demilitarized. Well, apparently demilitarized, you know? Can I see it? Sure, Alibi said. It is visible. She rolled her eyes. Alibi chuckled as he led her down to the cruiser. He turned on the ship bay's lights so Emily could check it out. She looked up admiringly at the battered but solid front hull and smiled back at Alibi. She turned to continue her visual appraisal. Inspecting the cruiser, Emily walked toward the stern, around past the engines, and down the other side. That's a good-looking ship, she said, as she returned to Alibi. I've had her for a while, he said. Almost feel bad turning her into a cargo carrier. An apparent cargo carrier, she corrected him, with his own word. Can we board? Sure, Alibi said. He led her to the nearest airlock. You want a tour? Love one, she said. He opened the airlock and led Emily inside. The cruiser wasn't huge, but large enough to carry a crew of 8 comfortably. Could carry double that uncomfortably, as the 8 cabins were large enough to hold 2 apiece, if needed. Each cabin had its own refresher. The ship's medical unit was small and fully automated, with a 1-bed attached sick bay. The galley and common area weren't very large, only 4 crew members could eat comfortably at any one time. The dining area lost space to the new configuration of the expanded cargo hold, though their hold was still smaller than those found on most ships this size. That was because the cruiser needed space for its extra-large power plant, used to drive its more powerful-than-average engines, and the hidden blaster batteries tucked near the back of the ship. Alibi showed Emily around the cruiser, finishing the short tour on the bridge, showing off the 10 seats on the bridge, the captain and co-pilot's chairs up front, a science station behind the captain, and a navigation and engineering station behind the co-pilot, where Emily would be working. There were 2 unassigned seats next, and 4 along the back wall.
So, there you have it, Alibi said, pounding on the back of one of the seats. The cruiser, in all her glory.
Can tell you 2 have bonded, Emily said.
Oh yeah, Alibi said. My longest ever relationship.
Longest ever relationship.
The phrase triggered a memory, a flashback in Alibi's mind, an old woman with Emily's hazel eyes. Emily spoke. She asked Alibi a question he didn't hear. Alibi's mind was elsewhere.
That was Chapter 4 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
longest ever relationship. In the Time War, as it said in that chapter, Alibi knew Emily. He was married to her and grew old with her. In a previous dead-end timeline that the Devrisium tried to trap Alibi in. That was in the story Memory Yet Green. You might remember it. If you don't, just go back to episode 476 to catch that one. About six episodes back, this is episode 482, but yeah, 476 has Memory Yet Green, and that has the first encounter with Emily. But yeah, for some reason, Alibi has wished this on himself. He's like, hey, let's bring Emily in. So this should get interesting. But what I do like is that we are now out at the Hornet's Nest. And now you know where it is. It's a cool forward base. Big place, but they're only using a little bit of it. The Hornet's Nest. Out on the Depot Fringe. I think it's fun to head out to the frontier, you know? I hope you'll join me again for our next episode as we get into Chapter 5 next time around. Before I wrap things up completely, though, I did promise I was going to tell you what my plans are for the Adventures of Alibi Jones' six short stories. Here's the deal. You know, right now I'm working on a brand new Alibi Jones story. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I am working on a brand new Alibi Jones story that's going to run for episode 500. Just about 17 episodes now. We're counting down to 500. So this new Alibi Jones short story, which will be on episode 500, is also going to be a new comic book story. The comic book script first draft is done and in the hands of artist Federico Guillen. The cover for the comic book is already done. Great Doctor Who, Robotech artist, comic book artist, Blair D. Shedd, who's another Vermonter, has already done the artwork for this issue that's going to be coming out. I'm writing the short story adaptation right now. Well, I mean, not, you know, physically this second, no. But last night, night before, tonight, after I finish this stuff, put up the podcast, yeah, back to it. It's fun. So it is a new short story, and because episode 500 is going to be coming around Christmas time, I did go for the theme, a very special Alibi Jones episode. Alibi Jones Christmas present, or Christmas present, depends on how you want to say it. It is a little bit of a greatest hits kind of thing. What I mean by that is that BC will be in the story. I'm not going to say how, but Bernard Campion, Alibi's father, does appear in this short story. Also, perhaps because BC is in the story and he exists in the past, the Devrisium may appear as well. And it takes place in Mar del Plata, in Argentina, which is the home of Juan Carlos Quatordio and used to be where Federico lived, Federico Guillen. And in my stories, it's where Finder lives, or at least was located during the sunrise of her. Turns out he was back there in BC's day as well. So maybe BC knew Finder before Alibi. Wah. So all of this is going into this new short story, Alibi Jones Christmas Present. That's also going to be a comic book story. And so, I will have a sixth short story to replace About Time in that anthology that has just kind of been out there. The Adventures of Alibi Jones, six short stories. So I'm going to do a second edition of The Adventures of Alibi Jones, six short stories. I'll replace About Time with this brand new story, Alibi Jones' Christmas Present. And after the audio adaptation runs in episode 500, we'll re-release, or release for the first time as an official audiobook, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories. Now, I'm also going to do an ebook, which I have not yet done for this. And there's a reason. But in order for me to do an audiobook, I need to have an ebook or some kind of prose book on Amazon. It's just kind of a way it ties together, at least at this point. Because these are adaptations of comic book stories. So the prose versions are a little rough. So I'll have to polish them up, you know. But I will, and then I'll put out the ebook so the audiobook can come out through all the official channels. And then everything Alibi Jones will be available in audiobook form. But I won't be releasing The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, in print, unless there's some crazy demand, because they are really already in print. I mean, the 6 short stories that are in it now in the first edition are in the 2 comic books. That's Alibi Jones, Blind Eye, Alibi Jones, Father's Day, Alibi Jones, In Over His Head, Alibi Jones, About Time, Alibi Jones, Vacation, and Alibi Jones and the Wishing Stone. Now, because About Time is in the Time War of the DeVriesium, it's going to be replaced for the second edition by the new story. And those should come out about the same time as episode 500. If I can pull it all together, you know? So those are the plans right now for The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, tied into the upcoming episode 500 of Glow in the Dark Radio. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordi. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.